Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this Lord's Day is from the parable of the fig tree that was read. The fig tree is Israel. The owner is God. The vine dresser is Jesus. The 3 years is the time of the proclamation of the gospel. But look at what happened. Every time the Lord went to the tree, there was no fruit. I mean, there wasn't anything to pick. There wasn't a bud. There was nothing. The fact that they missed the boat. The fertilizer was the truth of Jesus' words. And all of the prophecies of Isaiah and Daniel and David and whoever that spoke about the Lord, they bore no fruit. And so, in 70 AD, the Romans came, and there is no more spiritual Israel. The nation that you see today is founded in 1948 by decree of the United Nations, and they are there as a nation, not as a spiritual nation, but as a nation. Perhaps we have another question from this parable. Have we borne fruit? Have we ever shared our faith in such a way that it might build up somebody else? For an interesting thing about speaking about your faith, if you give it away, you're going to have more of it. How many times have I heard, "I don't know what to say"? Or perhaps there are other things that you're thinking about, like the discomfort if one of the persons that you're speaking to laughs at you or mocks you or rejects you. Welcome to the ministry. To tell the truth, you need to have a plan. Have you ever noticed that not one of us guys get up here in a pulpit without some notes? The only two or three pastors that I've ever seen preach that didn't have notes, you maybe should have packed a lunch. You see, we need to think about what you're going to say long before you run into something that needs to hear what you have to say. Because if we don't know what we're going to talk about, we're not ready to listen either. Because if you're listening to what the person is saying and thinking about a response, you're kind of behind the eight ball already. The simplest method of sharing is to invite people to church and to help them through the bulletin. Yeah, if you bring somebody to church, it's easier than the hymnal, but still they don't know when to stand and when to sit because we are absolutely 180 degrees different than any Baptist church I've ever been in. And the devil has convinced so many that they must only let the generals fight the war. We must plan. We must think. And we must get used to an outline like grace, man, God, Christ, faith. If you've got that in your mind, you're ready to go. And some have been led to think that they need to memorize the entirety of the Bible. Most of you can't remember what your small catechism said. I've been through 17 different editions, so I don't remember what any of them said either. That's why I pick one up and read it. But you see, this is the thing that we need to do. We must have the simplicity. Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, John 3:16, Romans 3:23, and perhaps 6:18. See, Romans 3:22 comes in handy because it says, all have sinned and are short of the glory of God. That doesn't let anybody out, from the guy in the pulpit to the person in the back row. All have sinned in thought, word, and deed. And sometimes we only know 95% of our sins. Our psyche is fixed that way. That's why it's so good to confess that you have sinned in thought, word, and deed, because indeed we have. Assuming that you are ready now, and somebody has given a question or a thought, like, I hope to get to heaven. I hope that somebody else got to heaven. I'm really good. I have served the Lord well. I am really good. That means you haven't murdered anybody, etc. Because Jesus says you must be perfect, and I'm sure that there's nobody here that is perfect. You can only walk on the water when it's frozen. You're not alone when you do this. Because the Holy Spirit is with you. He is the power and the Word of God. You're merely an instrument. Your instruments to bring in the harvest as surely as the combine brings in the corn. But the problem is, our harvest we never see until we stand in heaven. Now, if you begin to say, it is by grace you are saved through faith, not by works, lest any man should boast, you can't do enough, because Jesus did it all. And mankind is a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, including the person that you're talking with. And God has said that the soul that sins shall die, or the wages of sin is death. He also said, I want everybody to be saved. Now, how can he have it both ways? Well, that's why he sent Jesus. Jesus came into this world sinless to take upon my sin, to die on the cross, that I might live forever. How much God must love us to sacrifice his son. And it is by our faith alone in him that we are saved. Now, I'm sure that most of you can say, John 3:16. Come on, let's try it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Old Lutheran question, what does this mean? You think about the words that you just said. Because God, the mysterious Holy Trinity, loved the world of which you are a part of, he sacrificed his only Son, that whosoever, whole group included, believes in him should not perish, that is, to be separated from God for eternity, but has eternal life. What about this eternal life? You have it right now. By faith in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. You haven't used it yet. And if I remember Kenny Chesney, he said, everybody wants to die and go to heaven, but not right now. We're around for a lot of things. And we need to listen to some of the more mature folks. I'm not going to say old because that's merely a number. Unfortunately, they all add up. But when you listen to the older folks, we get their wisdom. Just think how many years of experience you can hear. I always got a real kick out of my daughter when Grandma was still with us. And she said, Grandma, can I have your bread recipe? Well, let's see. The problem was that my mother would take her flour, her whatever and whatever and whatever, and put them all in front of her, and then say, do you want rolls or bread? And take a handful of this and a handful of that and put it all together and come out with some of it. Oh, Lord, I hope that she bakes in heaven. Because you see, that wisdom is there. We need to listen. When you speak to someone about your faith, sometimes they are surprised. Because what evidence do they have of your faith unless you speak it? Your car at Frickie's doesn't count, because you can park over there for any cause. And some folks aren't here to see your presence in worship. Or helping out at school. To bear fruit takes a real conscious effort. And you have to have that outline in your head. Grace, man, God, Christ, faith. I found that in the years that I'm in the pulpit that it comes in handy to have grace, man, God, Christ, faith, because I have an outline for every sermon I've ever written. Our gracious God loves you so much that he sacrificed his Son on the cross. The most miserable death known to man, that you, by faith in him, can have, possess eternal life. The other day I wrote a forensic report on the death of Jesus Christ for the pastors. And it was hard not to have tears because of what he went through. He went through it for you. I have a hard time understanding how God can love me so much that his son would go through that, that I could stand with him in heaven. I have repeated myself on that point often enough that you got the idea. Therefore, may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.